Little P, what I shouldn't write. Sometimes I think I shouldn't write about my past. So many stories best kept to myself. But then there's a summer afternoon in Virginia when memory opens like the pages of a book, and I miss being someone else, or the child who picked peas with her nanny in the July heat of childhood, who was carried in her large black arms back to the house where they shucked peas in the kitchen, a fan blowing fly strips overhead. The nanny, Miss Mary, humming hymns, calling her Little Pea, dragging her thumb down the open pods. The peas bouncing in a silver bowl. The girl asks, "Which Little Pea am I?" The nanny laughs and smacks her thigh. "You a funny Little Pea. The funniest, specialist Little P. That's the P you is." My racist memory. Who wants to read my racist memory that begins with a white child in a black nanny's arms? Isn't that an iconic image from the history of the South? Can I forget it? Or how in the morning we took breakfast scraps, the nasty stinking slop Mary called it, to the pigs, gathered eggs, dug potatoes in the garden, hung clothes on the line, me handing her the pins. Before 11, she carried me upstairs for my nap and sat beside my bed sipping Pepsi. "Shut your eyes," she said, and I did. When I peeked, she was open-mouthed, asleep, her breasts rising and falling inside her starched cotton dress. I'd play with my baby doll until she woke and said, "I just had me a little beauty rest." Damn white folks. I remember another day in Little P's life when her father caught her hiding in the loft after she snuck out of the house during nap time. Lying on her back on top of the hay bale, she watched mud daubers build their clay nests, barn swallows flying in and out, straw in their beaks. "How many times do I have to tell you not to play up here," her father shouted, before dragging her down the ladder, pulling down her pants and smacking her. Whap, whap. When she looked up, Miss Mary was running down the hill beneath the mimosa trees. "What are you doing to my child?" she screamed and snatched her from her father's arms and pressed her against her chest, her body slick with perspiration and rage. The whole way back to the house, she muttered under her breath, "Damn white folks, don't even know how to raise their own chillen." Where racism begins. Is it racist to imitate Miss Mary's accent and vernacular? Is there a point where racism begins and ends? A line I can be careful never to cross. I want badly to say no and then yes. I call Miss Mary back from the dead. She looks so tired when she arrives, her hair in a net, sweat beating on her forehead as she fishes ice cubes from her water glass and drops them inside her blouse. "Coolin' my chest," she called it. We had no AC in 1963. I think how hot it was. Our ritual. I know what you're thinking. She wasn't just a nanny. She was a cook, a laundress, a housekeeper, a savior, a saint. Writing now, I realize how much I needed her then, even after she passed. She was my protector, mother, first love, and I feel her like a song, a longing, an ache. Now I've kept her with me all these years as a secret, close as my own breath. When I sit down to write, I ask her how she is, and she says, "I'm blessed, child. I blesses you too." It's a little ritual we do. Asking permission. But I think it's time I asked her permission. Is it okay for you to be here in these poems and stories? She stares at me, aghast. "Good Lord, child," she says. "I'm 118 years old if I'm a day. An old southern ghost. You think I get to pick where I stays?" She shakes her head. "Ain't nobody never choose the time, the skin, the heart you gonna live on in. Not me, not you, Little Pea. Not your daddy neither, that old SOB. I sit back and wonder, still unsure. But how can I help that Mary's here, in the steamy kitchen of my Virginia past, deep inside my aging white heart?